right. Y'all have had halftime, so you've been sinning, I know. So let's have a moment of rebound. Confess your sins to the Father. He'll forgive you. And you can then be able to concentrate on the bloviations I have coming up for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your immutable truth. It's our prayer is that we provide the positive volition and the concentration the Holy Spirit will instruct us regarding the things we're about to examine. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's see if I can find my place. I was looking for the person I was going to pray for. I think I left off on page 376 at page, point 59. Here's how it reads, and I want to put these numbers up here. We've been noting these two verses. These are the last the last verse divided into two parts. It's got a comma at the end of verse 19 and a lowercase h beginning verse 20. So it's really one sentence, a compound, and therefore that concludes the study of the letter of James. I know some of you have probably wondered, how much longer are you going to teach the letter of James? Well, we've got a couple more hours to go. We're on page 376. That's document 38. And it's going to take all the way through document 39 for me to sum it up. After which, I'll do a review of the chapter. During that process, I'm also going to pull together a special on anti-Semitism. I don't know how long that'll take. I've got a lot of information on anti-Semitism. Also, I want to sum up the study of the letter of James. I'm going to do a book on it. The book is going to therefore quote from a number of theologians who have written a book about the letter of James, maybe four or five of them. And so I'm going to cite some of the things they've had to say about James's letter. Information I think will be valuable to you as you reflect back on our particular study of this particular letter. So that's going to be a part of the book. And then at the end of the book, there will be an expanded translation of the entire letter. And at the end of it, we're going to have the expanded translation of all five chapters. So there's going to be a book on the letter of James, and we'll see how that comes together. But that's on the agenda, and that's going to be one of the things that I complete. In our study, I repeat this, on page 376, we resume at point 59. And it reads this way. This is a quote. My brethren, if anyone among you do err, in other words, the concept here, the word err, is in, I think, in the King James Version. We have to start with that. If you know how to exegete Scripture, you have to take the King James Version because of Strong's exhaustive concordance of Scripture. Got that? All of you have a Strong's? That's the index. And so you have to go to the King James to find out what the word is. And then you go look up the word. Now you've got it in the Hebrew or the Koine Greek. Then you do the research on that word in the context in which it's found. So they got to battle through that for every word. Come on. Every word. This takes time. And so when I get it done, whatever the expanded translation is, that's the best we can do in English. And therefore, you can say to yourself, whatever's found in this verse is absolutely true as best expressed in the English language. My brethren, if any one among you do err, in other words, a person who wanders from the truth. Now, this is an old English word, and we no longer use it. It is the aorist passive subjunctive of planao. And we have to find out what this means in the 20th century English. Planao means to delude, to seduce, or to wander from. It has three legitimate meanings, and all of them are pertinent here. In the active voice, it often means to cause to wander, but we have the passive voice here. The passive voice, planao, means to go astray, means to be deluded, to be deceived, or to be seduced. Take your pick, you can use all of them. Find it means to wander from the right way. When you wander from the right way, you've deviated away from the absolutes and gone to maybe-sos. This is a constative aorist, which means it gathers into one totality everything involved in going from a normal Christian experience over to reversionism. So what does reversion mean? You revert away from the goal that you were progressing toward, and you deviate to another concept. In other words, you're seeking to understand the truth, and for whatever reason, your volition takes you elsewhere. You deviate to another concept, and therefore it flaws the concept that is being presented in the immutable scripture. So when you deviate away from the standards, then you're learning the lie, and you can't apply the lie successfully. It is a success, but a success for the dark side. And that's so, therefore, we have the passive voice of planao. So reverse process reversionism is a concept. This includes negative volition toward doctrine. That is, every time you are indifferent to or neglect the daily intake of Bible doctrine. It also includes the frantic search for happiness. It includes substituting what doctrine you have for false teaching. It also includes the emotional revolt of the soul. It includes every act of reverse process reversionism that leads to divine discipline and ultimately to the sin unto death. Now, what is the sin unto death? You can get into the dark side vocabulary and decision making so that you wind up like the guy in the verses we noted at the close of the first session. You can get sick thinking the lie. And you vote for that from your own free will. You are a free agent. You have volition. You may choose to study the lie and then apply it. You may choose to study the truth and you may apply it. But your volition can go one of two ways. You are an independent decision-making machine. Never forget that. You can't blame anyone else for bad decisions. So, for this passage, conclusion is dealing with the sin unto death. Now, let's take a look at that. Reverse process reversionism is noted in this passage. Let's define it. What is reversionism? Reversion means to revert away from a previous standard. Okay? What is the standard? Immutable truth found in the books of the Bible, Hebrew and Koine Greek. That's where the truth is. It's the truth in two categories. It's true that this is the right way to think, or it's true that this is the wrong way to think. Your volition can go either way. You are a decision-making machine. So we have reverse process reversionism. When you revert to the lie, it's a reverse process of growing in grace under normal advance through Bible study. Let's see how it's defined. Reverse process reversionism is characterized by the total influence of evil and the substitution of Satan's plan for God's plan. Lucifer undergirds so much of Scripture. His ideas, his principles, his doctrines are therefore embedded in Scripture, and he lets you know how he thinks, and people buy into that. And in doing so, they have gone into reverse process reversionism. Satan's cosmic system is so powerful and devious that the reversionistic believer becomes divorced from reality. Christian degeneracy reaches its peak in reverse process reversionism. In other words, you lose one thought and you aggrandize another. Reverse process means to face in the opposite direction, to reverse course, to invert beliefs by a turnabout of thinking. In reverse process reversionism, all true values are pushed aside and priorities are inverted. So you change the way you think, you see. In other words, the reversionist spurns which he should love and loves what he should spurn. Therefore, reverse process reversionism is the status quo of unrestrained and perpetual sinfulness, fragmentation, and extensive cosmic involvement. The believer is brainwashed by satanic propaganda. In this stage, he is described as, first of all, a hater of God, John 15:23. Two, an enemy of God, James 4:4. Three, double-minded, or in a state of spiritual schizophrenia, in James 4:8. Number four, anti or against Christ, 1 John 2:18, chapter 2, verse 22, chapter 4, verse 3, 2 John, verse 7. Number five, a disciple of the devil, according to 1 John 5:8-10. And number six, the enemy of the cross, noted in Philippians 3:18. And that's found on pages 37 and 39 of the book Reversionism, in which you find reverse process reversionism defined. Now, we have the book in there if you want it. It's fat, so you have a be ready for a long read. Get fuzzy tips. You need to know that reverse process reversionism is based on the erroneous thought of the individual. Why do I say erroneous? Because it deviates from the divine standard. Okay, what is the divine standard? Okay, we can do this easy. There you go. Hebrew, Old Testament, Koine Greek, and the New. What's this filled with? Standards. Some are true, some are false. No, both. Your volition gets to choose one or the other. And I'm saying to you, why church? Where does the church come in? We call Grace Doctrine Church. What does grace mean? Grace has to do with the idea that you're a free agent. Free agent because you believe from your own volition that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by faith alone in Him alone, you have eternal life. That's it. That's grace. God provided that value for you. Then it says doctrine. What is doctrine? There are standards in Scripture. They vary from 11 different categories. And there are multiple things that the Bible reveals among those standards. And therefore, we call those doctrines. And I give you the doctrine systematically along as we study the Scripture. And then a church. What is the church? Well, in the church age, that means that there are buildings or places that people can go to gather together to listen to the communication of a pastor regarding certain aspects of Scripture. It can be a book study, it can be a doctrinal study, it can be a verse study. Whatever it happens to be, the pastor stands in the pulpit and communicates to those who have gathered the concepts buried in that particular passage or that particular book. That's what the church is. And this is called the church age. It's a dispensation that emerged out of what we would call the Old Testament, which takes you back to the concept of the Jewish period of time when they were running the show. And then you have the church age established with Jesus Christ. Now, all these things are, of course, known to you. But reverse process reversionism is something that undergirds the lie in any client nation, because Lucifer is going to communicate his ideas, his principles, and his doctrines to those who will give him a hearing. So there's going to be the lie out there. He runs the show, and you've got all these fallen angels. This is called the angelic revolt. That would be Genesis chapter 2 and 3. That's when it all started. Genesis, first thing. Genesis. Right in the very first, chapter 2. That's where it started. Then you move over here. Hebrews. That's a big, fat, juicy one. Then you go here to the Revelation. That's the summation of it all. That's all one thing. And therefore, you've got a lot to do to understand whether you're thinking properly. Look at all of this. Can you think that way? Think that way. So where do you go to do that? You go to a thing called church, ecclesia. And you have a boring guy like me stand up in the pulpit and bloviate. That's funny. There are people I went to school with never thought this would ever happen. Let's just say I was a loose screw. I was a person who would do anything to get a laugh. Whether I said something or did something or went somewhere or whatever it was, I was very subtle, and then all of a sudden, there it was. I had a great time. Well, I did have a great time. Because I think life is funny. If you can relax and just take a look at life the way it really is, people are funny. When they're doing something wrong, it's funny. When they're doing something right, you think, that's pretty good right there. I wish I'd have thought of that. You can have a relaxed mental attitude and enjoy life. And if you have the Word of God, you can separate what's going on in front of you. What's true and what's false? Do you have an inventory that gives you the ability to discern between the two? There has to be a standard somewhere. Varies. How about right now? Let me give you a good example of how the bloviations are currently afoot in Client Nation America. We have people running for offices. Okay. Listen to what they say. Now, you don't have to do a lot of exegesis with these people. They're right up front with what they're saying. All right, what they're saying is what they believe, and what they believe is what they intend to do if you vote for them and then get elected. Okay, who is it that you're going to place your future life in with these people? Okay, any suggestions? What's going to be the standard you use to decide whether to vote for one or the other? Or none. I understand there are other people running for president, too. I don't know who these people are. But they're out there. You get to choose. You're a free agent. You get to approve of one or the other. Free will. See? And free will is going to decide who gets to be the next stud muffin, or lady, as the case might be. Somebody's going to get that job. And how is it going to occur? Because a number more people are going to vote for one or the other. And the one that gets the most votes, that's the person that's going to run the show. Well, as simple as that. Who do you want to run this show for the next 4 years? Well, you got more than two choices. There's some other people running for this thing, too. So I don't know who they are. But you're a free agent, see? See, they're free to run. You're free to decide. Call it an election. Now I want to take a look at this. Reverse process reversionism is what I've got on the board here. Did I read this all to you? Okay, there it is right there, and it'll be on the internet. You can study it and memorize it and quote it. So it'll be on the internet. It's not going to go away. So we have my brethren, that's in the context. If any one among you has been deluded, the constitutive aorist has been seduced, has wandered from the right way. The passive voice indicates that the believer receives delusion from this reversionism. The subjunctive mood goes with a third-class condition, quote, from the truth. You deviate from the truth, is the preposition apa plus the ablative of aletheia. Aletheia has to do with the truth. You deviate from the truth. So how do you know what's the truth? That's the secret. Do you know what the truth is? If you don't know what the truth is, then people are going to tell you what they think the truth is, and you say, oh, that's the truth, and then you buy in their truth. What's their truth? Whatever they say it was. Are you confident with that? Do you have the ability to discern what's going on around you as it comes to you from their verbiage? Are they telling the truth? Is it something you can buy into? Can I take my volition and believe what their volition communicates to me? I need to decide whether I can do that. So we have, my brethren, if anyone among you has been deluded, that's a constative aorist, constative means it's ongoing, has been seduced, has wandered from the right way, see that? The passive voice indicates that the believer receives delusion from reversionism. See that on the board. The subjunctive mood goes with the third class condition. Deviating from the truth is the preposition apa plus the adjective of aletheia. Apa aletheia means from the source of the doctrine. One has wandered from the source of doctrine, Bible teaching, the pastor teacher who has figured so prominently in verses 13 through 18. The pastor teacher in the previous dispensation was a prophet. So when you see prophet in the text of James, it's talking about the PT. So at this point, we must note that the aorist active subjunctive of the verb epistrophe does not mean to convert. You have the prefix epic, meaning around. In this case, strepho means to turn. It means back. Epi also means back. It means to turn back, to turn around. But it is used generally for changing someone's mind. That's called propaganda. The subject is the enclitic indefinite pronoun tis. It refers to the fact that a reversionist is involved in this. Quote, if anyone among you has been seduced and has wandered from doctrine. If you know the doctrine, you can therefore understand he's communicating the lie. But if you don't, and he's a slick-tongued rascal, you'll buy the lie. That's why you have to have Bible study. Someone is a second enclitic particle tis. It is an indefinite pronoun to indicate a category. Someone refers to a pastor teacher or some super grace believer where there is no pastor teacher. That is some super grace believer who has contact with a reversionist. So what does super grace mean? It means a person who is so embedded in Bible study, has a huge inventory of biblical absolutes, and therefore can discern a person involved in reverse process reversionism. Can you do that now? I'm asking you now, go home, turn on the television, watch a series, doesn't matter what it is. If you have certain programs that you like to follow, it can be a police deal, and the police have laws, and the police are going to enforce the laws, and people are violating the laws, and the police say that it will not stand here in our community, and they go out and try to arrest the people, and there the last scene is they're arrested, and they put them in jail. Why? Because there are laws. What are the laws? The laws that everybody's voted on is this is the way we think. Anybody violates the ways we think they ought to think, we're going to put them in jail. Or maybe even execute them if they kill somebody. And everybody stands, bravo. Do you like police dramas? Do you like things that are humorous? What's funny for you? Some people are really funny, but they're not funny to people who don't have a good sense of humor. What if they violate your standards? Well, if they do it funny, you understand how they think, and you laugh at that. Have to have a relaxed mental attitude. But I'm trying to say, remember, everybody's got a free will. They're free to use it, and you are the discerner if you've got doctrine. You can say, that individual seems to be a nice fellow, but he's deviating from the standards of what I consider to be the absolutes. He's free to do this, but I'm not believing what he's saying because it deviates from the standards to which I subscribe. That's free agency right there. If anything, this is just as important as witnessing any day of the world. But whereas almost any believer priest can witness, only a super grace believer can actually fulfill this passage. Anyone here in this context refers to a pastor teacher communicating doctrine from his pulpit. You got to trust that guy. Has he done the duty? Here I am at the last two verses of James. 8 years of going through every word in every verse from the original Koine. There it is at the bottom of page 381. We ain't there yet. The last two verses. It's one verse divided into two parts. That summarizes for James the letter. Do you believe what James had to say? That's the issue. You've gone all the way through chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all the way down to verse 19. He's been telling the truth. The truth is, this is the way to think. This is not the way to think. It's true that this is the way to think. It's also true that this is erroneous and should not be followed. It's true that it's the lie. Can you do that? This is a very intensive pronoun, autos. In its intensity, it summarizes someone who is in reversionism and is suffering in reversionism. Now, my brethren, if anyone among you has been seduced, has wandered from doctrine, and someone turns him around, now turns him back, is simply saying something or communicating something. Turning him back refers to communication. You communicate something that turns him from negative to positive, and it could be negative to positive in any of several areas of discipline. In the general divine discipline category is at the beginning of reversionism. The illness category, which comes next, refers to dying, or the sin unto death category, which comes last. You can believe the lie so long in various categories of truth, absolutes, etc. You can believe all of those things and it wears at your mentality. The brain is geared for truth. Who invented the brain? God the Father. Who created our original parents? Jesus Christ, the absolute. Second person of the Trinity. He's the one. And therefore, he is the, what shall we say, the prime witness for absolutes when it comes to truth. And he knows the lie when he sees it. And it all started in Genesis 2. The illness category, which comes next, refers to dying, or the sin unto death category, and that's the last step right there. Generally, a pastor is involved. In this one, a pastor is not involved. But in all of these, there is the importance of the changing of the attitude. What's your attitude about certain concepts, ideas, principles, or whatever? Are you satisfied that you have clear understanding of the issue that's being discussed? And if you don't have all the information, are you satisfied with your current belief in that idea? And are you confident to execute that as if it were true without knowing for sure? How do you find out? Okay, then you apply what you know. What if it's the lie? Well, that all falls apart on you because the truth is going to win out. That's what's called law. We're going to have a country, and we're going to let people be free to mill about, but there are going to have to be some laws. And people who say, I really like that Hispanic squeezer out on the parking lot. I think I'll go out there. I'll just sneak out the front door, and I know how to cross the wires and everything. I'll crank that thing up out there, and I'll drive off while they're in there at Bible study. And you can work all the churches. They're all up and down the streets here. All those cars sitting unmolested out in the parking lots. Come on now. If it ever crossed your mind, nobody's watching. And I know how to do this. And I can push the little button, and I can drive off. Easy peasy. I can go to Montana, and nobody will know it. All right, fine. So you're not like that. The question arises, why are you not like that? Do you have standards? Standards based on what? Establishment viewpoint? Establishment viewpoint gets us through the day in client nation America, usually. What about the Bible? Do you know those standards? The 11 categories of systematic theology and lots of doctrines are buried among the 11. Can you think that way? Do you know it's an absolute? When you think that way, it's an absolute and God honors it. You're promoted. To do this, you have to have a change of attitude. And that's why children have to have mamas and daddies at the very get-go, because they are free agents with a volition. Look at me. Every one of you here, including me, all of us were free agents at one point. We only thought what we wanted to think. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. And we were not going to have anybody get in our way. And then Daddy showed up. You need to be told there's some things you can do and that's okay. And some things you can't do and that's not okay. And today it was a not okay day. Now turn around. And one turns him around. The aorist tense here is the culminative aorist. It refers to the actual point when the person has changed his attitude in reversionism. You can change your mind. Now, one turns him around, restores him. This is the change of mental attitude. The active voice indicates a pastor, teacher, or a super grace believer performs this. The subjunctive mood, again, goes with the third class condition. So far, we still do not have a good translation. All we have is the present active imperative of the verb gnosko. It should be translated, keep on knowing. Keep on knowing this concept. It is a second person plural, not a third person singular, and therefore should be translated, you keep on knowing. Keep knowing this. Now, sometimes life is very discouraging for some. For you, when you are growing up, but when you get close to super grace, there are always a lot of tests and a lot of pressures, a lot of opportunities to peel off and go into reversionism. So to sum it all up, as far as this page is concerned, let's note this and then we'll dismiss. Lots of opportunities to neglect everything. Sometimes the delusion that you have now arrived, that you know more than anybody else, and therefore it is not necessary for you to take in doctrine or to recognize the authority of a pastor teacher. And that's why the guy in the first session was in bed and was dying. And the pastor teacher showed up. He got him thinking clearly, got him off his deathbed, and therefore restored order in his soul. This is where we have to stop for today. We'll resume our study on Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the power of your immutable word. We thank you for the fact we were able to delve into it today. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would take what we've noted, aggrandize it in our mentality for application in the hostile environment of the devil's world. We lift our prayer to you with gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.